About a third of Wisconsin's households either fall below the federal poverty income level or don't make enough to cover all their basic needs, especially housing. News from the Northeast Wisconsin News Lab takes a close look at the issue of affordable housing in the area in and around Brown and Outagamie counties. It's an area with a growing population, but the rising cost of homes and new apartments is out of reach for many long-term residents. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had a tough time finding a place you can afford to live in your area, whether it's this part of the state we're talking about or beyond? How much of a bite does housing take out of your annual income? Did you find a place you could afford? What did it take to do it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Jeff Bollier is a business reporter for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Jeff, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
And Nusaiba Mazan is a business and career reporter also at the Press Gazette. Nusaiba, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Nusaiba, let's talk about what we mean by affordable. People might think of, you know, people in severe poverty having trouble finding housing. This is more than that, though, right? This is people who, in many cases, are working.
Yeah, definitely. Affordable from a organization like nonprofit and government standpoint means that you're, you know, utilizing approximately a third of your rent or 30% of your rent on housing, but a lot of households are spending more than 30%, even more than 50% on housing.
And Jeff, do we know how much of the population in this region, Brown, Outagamie County area, having trouble finding housing in that affordable range, under that, you know, third or more of their income range?
So we do have some information on that statewide. You know, there are about 500,000 households that struggle with what United Way of Wisconsin calls a household survival budget, which is basic expenses, housing, medical care, transportation, etc. We found that roughly 1 in 10 of those families live in Brown and Outagamie County. There are about 58,000 households where people live above poverty level wages, but their income isn't enough to sort of make all of those ends meet.
Nusaiba, let's talk first of all about the supply of housing that people at lower income levels could afford. What did you find when you started looking for apartments with the people who are trying to find them?
Definitely supply. It's not meeting the demand for affordable housing. For extremely low-income households, there's a shortage of more than 100,000, 119,000 housing or housing units. According to the National Low-Income Housing Coalition, and so even on a city basis, there is a shortage of hundreds of units, and we'll have to be building hundreds of units in the years to come in order to meet anticipated demand.
And Jeff, part of the story here is income. What do we see with income levels and how they're matching up, keeping up maybe with rising housing costs?
Yeah, very, very much so. Income is at play in this, you know, and that's partly because of building or construction issues, but we can dive into that later. But what we found was we looked at American Community Survey data, which is sort of Census Bureau information. And we found that between 2000 and roughly 2019, that while median rent in Brown, Outagamie, and Winnebago counties increased roughly 50% since 2000, that median household income has only risen about 30 or 32%. So, you know, wages are not keeping up with the sort of overall household survivability budget or the household expenses that that families in Wisconsin encountered.
We're talking about housing affordability, especially in northeastern Wisconsin, though these issues are coming up elsewhere. Nusaiba Mazan is with us and Jeff Bollier, both of the Green Bay Press Gazette. They've been doing a detailed report on this issue. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are they telling your story? Have you had trouble finding affordable housing where you live? What are you seeing? Are houses and apartments going up? Are they affordable for you? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Nasiba and Jeff, you both shared a story you kind of rode along with people going through this situation. I want to hear a little bit about both of them. Let's start Nasiba with Stacey Burkhardt. Can you tell us a little bit about her experience?
Yeah, Stacey is a self-employed business owner in the Green Bay area, and she has three children. She found that she was on the housing hunt last year, but in looking for housing, she found it difficult to find affordable housing with the number of bedrooms for her children within the area. And so it took months to find housing, and it's eventually a friend in December 2020 called her saying a friend of a friend had bought a building. And so she kind of credits that. She says that, you know, if I hadn't had that, you know, friend of a friend connecting me, I don't know if I'd have been able to find housing. And so definitely it's a very competitive housing market. You have to kind of be at the right place at the right time, and you don't have much time to hesitate or think about options.
And Jeff, you tell the story of Amber Edward. Can you tell us a little bit about what she found looking for housing?
So Amber's story, like Stacy's, is kind of exemplary of a lot of what Nasiba and I and our colleague Natalie Brophy have found as we talk to people struggling to afford their housing. And Amber, had a situation where her daughter and her daughter's father all lived together, but the place that they lived was sold, and the people who bought it wanted to live there. So she had to find a place to live through sort of no fault of her own. And she found just nothing was available that met their needs at an affordable price. And so she ended up on this huge downward spiral that sort of started in 2018, where, you know, her losing housing led her to, kind of couch surf with friends and rely on friends and loved ones in order to get by. And her life just kind of fell apart through no fault of her own. And then, she found that as she slowly was able to rebuild and kind of tap social support services that are available, that she ran into this whole new problem as she was trying to put her life back together and get things stabilized again, where as she was getting more self-sufficient, the support that she relied on was kind of cut out from under her. And so it took her roughly about 3 years until earlier this year from 2018 to sort of get her life back together. And she has become very adamant about trying to help others experiencing this kind of get through it and work their way through.
We're picking up our talk now with Nasiba Mazan and Jeff Bollier from the Green Bay Press-Gazette, looking at the reporting on a new series on affordable housing in Northeast Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions for our guests or your experiences looking for housing yourself. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's bring on a caller now. Michael is with us in Milwaukee. Michael, hi.
Hi, guys. It's an interesting topic. I got a little story and then a comment. Question. So my father, he owns his house in Milwaukee, and he randomly received something that said that his house was valued higher than originally that he had it. So now he has to pay more property taxes. And they never came to look at the house. They never did anything, never came inside, nothing. So my question is, what is driving these higher taxes, which drives up property taxes, which drives up rent, which drives up the cost of owning a home? That obviously what we're talking about, making people not able to afford it.
Michael, thanks for the call. I don't remember if that came up in your pieces. Nasiba, is that something anybody mentioned, the impact of property taxes on the cost of, say, rentals?
Definitely. You're seeing an increase. And I think that, like, maybe Jeff could probably speak more a little bit to that in his research.
Yeah, Jeff, is that something you ran into?
In general, housing costs are going up. I haven't talked to anybody yet who really has seen, or said much regarding taxes driving up the cost, but they are kind of one of those hidden hidden costs that go into developing housing. You know, you have to figure in your tax bill in any property development. But, you know, there are things like permitting fees and site planning and, you know, all of the sort of approvals and stuff. And as though, you know, as all housing prices rise, land prices, material prices, everything else are rising also. And that is kind of contributing to an overall rise in the cost of developing housing and also the cost of housing in general.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Jeff, earlier you mentioned the construction side of things. This is something I think came up in both of your pieces on this topic. There is construction happening. It's not usually these more affordable units. What's going on, Jeff?
Well, you know, yeah, the challenge is that, you know, regions like Green Bay, Appleton, Oshkosh, northeastern Wisconsin, you know, pretty much dating back into the housing market collapse in the 2000s, had a bit of a shortfall of lot development, home building, apartment construction and everything. And it had left in communities like Green Bay and Appleton a significant shortfall of apartments versus demand. So there is demand and need for apartments sort of across the scale from, you know, low income or affordable housing, sometimes called workforce housing also, you know, up to the luxury end of the spectrum. And what we have seen kind of really developing very rapidly in Green Bay and Appleton in our research on this is the luxury and sort of market rate developments have been there, but the affordable housing effort is not. And part of that is building costs have gone up so much that you build a new building and, you know, you just, based on what income levels would dictate, referencing back to Nasiba's term, you know, reference of housing affordability or housing burden, you know, just the cost of materials and labor make it very difficult to build affordable housing without some sort of support or assistance.
And Nusaiba, you looked at some proposals, some ideas to give incentives for this kind of construction, including tax credits. What kind of things are out there?
Definitely. There are federal and state level tax credit programs. And in talking with a Northeast Wisconsin Community Action Program, which also builds housing units and housing buildings, there's a great need for tax credits. You might not be able to even make the building or consider making a building of affordable housing units without the help of tax credits. And yet there's a large number of large number in terms of dollars requested in terms of applying for tax credits, more than there is money available.
And Jeff, you write that this is not just an issue for the people looking for housing. It's starting to become a workforce issue. Employers want to bring in workers, but they don't want to come if they can't find places to live.
Well, that is certainly part of it. You know, the shortage of housing units and apartments in general means it can be difficult for people who are relocating for a job or for the quality of life to find something that is affordable to them. So yeah, very, very much that does kind of play into it. And, you know, businesses are starting to tell, you know, chambers of commerce and, you know, business development organizations that this is having an impact. And the other side of that is that United Way Wisconsin noted in its report for 2020 on the impact of not meeting the needs of low-income families, that by providing housing, by allowing people to be able to afford household necessities, you know, that could inject $22 billion of increased consumer spending into the economy. So while this is an issue that is affecting families over, you know, many families, it also is affecting or has could have an impact of positive sort on the state's economy as well.
Talking to Jeff Bollier and Nusaiba Mizan from the Green Bay Press-Gazette, looking at their reporting on a lack of affordable housing in northeastern Wisconsin. Let's go back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Nate is with us now in Eau Claire. Nate, hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, and we lost Nate right away. Okay, I've got a note from our producer here. Nate says that he invested in rental housing. He's worried that the problem with low rent housing is that if the property is damaged, the renters don't have the assets to fix it. And Nusaiba, I think it was in your report that, yes, some landlords and developers were worried that low rent housing was risky for that and maybe other reasons. What kind of things did you hear?
For sure. The developers have expressed that, you know, there is a risk or a financial risk to building low cost or affordable housing units because that there's more fluidity, there's employment issues or credit challenges when it comes to serving low income households. So there is that concern that there won't be that money to repair units or money to collect or a consistent stream of income when it comes to renting to low-income households.
Thanks for bringing up the issue. Sorry we lost you on the line there. Jeff, you write that another concern for some renters is that they feel they've been victims of housing discrimination, especially people of color. What kind of things did you hear?
You know, we've heard from people. Our colleague Natalie talked to a woman down in Oshkosh who really just, you know, she had been applying. She had been a good tenant, you know, for, I believe, up to 5 years straight. She had paid the rent on time. She had good jobs. You know, she was a woman who was Black, though, and she could not figure out why people were saying no to her over and over again. You know, we have heard from resource groups that work with communities of color in the Green Bay area that, you know, that issues do arise and that, you know, sometimes it is a little more subtle or maybe not so overt a sort, but that people, that residents and people of color in these communities are feeling like something is not right, or that they, you know, sometimes they are, you know, just kind of not sure that the reason they are rejected is exactly that, legitimate or what. And they don't always know what to do. And the lack of ample housing units means that they end up kind of pressured to stay where they are, or, you know, to, you know, they can't kind of get out of unpleasant circumstances.
In our last couple of minutes, I want to look toward the future now. Nusaiba, is there any kind of indication that housing, available housing, is going to catch up with that gap we were talking about earlier?
There's definitely a community focus to building more housing units, and it'll just take a multifaceted and consistent effort to bridge that gap.
And Jeff, what are you watching for as you continue to cover this story?
Well, we are continuing to talk with as many people from northeastern Wisconsin as we can about their experiences, trying to understand the variety of needs and wants in this area. We're also trying to focus on sort of what solutions are out there for how to address where there are gaps, you know, how people's experiences, you know, how people like Amber or Stacy, you know, by sharing their experiences can help the community figure out like where people fall through those cracks or what additional support would be needed in order to help resolve these issues or make sure that they, you know, that people do not have to find themselves experiencing homelessness.
We'll leave it there for now. Jeff, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
And Nusaiba, thanks for being with us again.
Thank you.
Nusaiba Mazan and Jeff Bullier are business reporters at the Green Bay Press Gazette. They join us today to talk about a series they're working on. It's called Unaffordable, No Place to Call Home, looking at housing affordability issues, especially in northeastern Wisconsin. You could find a link to that series. We've got it up at WPR.org/Central Time. That's WPR.org/Central Time. If you have a story to share, let us know. Tweet us at Central Time WPR.